141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we look back on a big weekend across Scottish football. The gap at the top is cut as Hearts drop points and Celtic win. But is it, was it, Martin O'Neill's final game in charge? Rangers, 3 wins in a row in the Scottish Premiership under Danny Rule. Are they now heading in the right direction? And in a weekend with quite a few draws, Hibs were the only other big winners, seeing off St Mirren as we head into the international break. I'm Gordon Duncan. Joining me tonight, you have Andy Halliday and David Friel of the Scottish Sun.
Yeah, Gordon, as you said, 3 emphatic wins for Celtic, Rangers and Hibs, 3 draws as well, but all the talking points is what's going to happen with a Celtic managerial position. Is it Martin O'Neill's last dance? Was it his last outing as interim manager? Hopefully we'll find out over the international break.
Feels like it could actually be a fairly simple Monday. Rangers and Celtic both winning, not a whole lot of controversy to talk about. The only shocker really is me potentially believing a Hugh Keevan's prediction that Hearts should go and win the league.
You've not changed your mind already, have you?
No, I've not, but it's not went pretty well since I got on that bandwagon. Obviously a big talking point, as David says, is Celtic's managerial vacancy coming to a close? Could it be someone in the MLS?
0141 951 1025, that's the number that you need. So come on down, let us know what you're thinking after the weekend. It was all loaded to yesterday, of course, wasn't it? Just the 2 games on Saturday, so we can work our way back. The gap at the top is cut. Has that changed your mind already? Does it mean that the comeback is on already for Celtic and anyone else? I'm sure we'll get some extreme views out there about Hearts bottle crashing and all the rest of it, even though they're still in a nice position at the top of the league as we head into the November international break. So get your thoughts in there about the gap at the top and what that looks like. A very simple question for you Celtic fans. Now that the dust has settled in the weekend, do you think it was Martin O'Neill's final game in charge or not? Let us know. 0141 951 1025. Rangers fans, there was a time when you wouldn't have been moved by 3 Scottish Premiership wins in a row, but given the way the season started, how encouraged are you? What are you seeing? Who is Danny Rule getting the best out of? You see Mikey Moore as an example, scoring the goal. What are the differences you're seeing? What are the things that still have to be worked on? And I know it's only 3 games, but do you think this is the start of something based on what you've seen so far? Do let us know. And anything else, big game in Paisley, of course, on Saturday evening. A share of the spoils for Andy's teammates up at Pittodrie. And if you've got the earliest of thoughts on a massive week for Scotland, you can get them in as well. 0141 951 1025. So get in touch nice and early and let us know what you are thinking. Are your teammates content with a point at Pittodrie, or could have been more, should have been more?
I think content's maybe a good word. Obviously the plan was to go up there and get 3 points, given with obviously off the back of 2 good results against Aberdeen previously, obviously with a win in the cup. But I don't think there was a whole lot between the 2 teams. I thought we certainly had more of control of the game, probably not at our free flowing best, I'd say, in the final third. So not a bad point, and looking forward to now.
Right, come on. 0141 951 1025. Is Andy Halliday quite rightly suggested maybe we are at our best when we've got something to moan about, and there can't be many weekends this season where Rangers and Celtic have both won on the same weekend, because Rangers have only won 4 league games, is that right? And there have been a few slip ups elsewhere, so there can't have been many weekends they've both won. That doesn't mean there is a shortage of talking points. Do get in touch. These two will whet your appetite with some awards on a Monday night. What was your result of the weekend?
Well, I'm going to go for Hibs. Hibs have been a funny team this season. It doesn't feel as if, probably off the back of their own success towards the end of last season, but it doesn't feel they've quite hit the heights of that run they went on last year. But sitting third in the league, and anyone that goes to Paisley and wins is a great result, but to do that in 3-0 in the fashion that they did, I thought it was mightily impressive. So here's my result of the weekend.
Yeah, not many will win there by that margin, such as St Mirren's performance levels generally. What was your result of the weekend, David?
I'm actually going to go for Rangers. Gordon, you mentioned how it's been a tough start to the season for them domestically. Danny Rowe's come in, I think he's got something going in the league, and to go to Dens Park, kill a game off pretty much within 20-25 minutes, I thought was pretty impressive. Dundee came into it slightly in the second half, but I thought Rangers were more than comfortable, scored a couple of good goals as well.
I didn't mind your options on this. I always think about you two. That's how I spend my weekend when I see the goals going in. I thought you had some choices.
Yeah, there's a few good ones, but my one's obvious. It's the standout of the weekend. I'm going for Elijah Just. You know, a flashback to that Champions League goal. Divock Origi, against Barcelona. The manager's massive on quick restarts and try to play with a bit of creativity and freedom. For me, it's all the part to play by Callum Slattery. You know, he sees the opening. I don't even think Elijah just sees it yet.
He doesn't realise until the pass
that makes the goal. It's as simple as that. But Elijah just, let's face it, he still has to react quickly. He still has to put the ball in the back of the net. But I just loved it. It's not a goal you see ever so often.
I like a wee bit of quick thinking. Okay, what are you going for?
I'm going to go back to Dens again. Mikey Moore, great goal, but I thought JD Gassama cutting inside top corner, I thought was a outstanding.
Some other good ones. Carlson against your team was decent as well.
It was all right.
A goalkeeper.
Because it doesn't go right in the
corner.
It goes
into the middle of the goals.
It's still a good strike. It's not the middle of the goals. We have got an anti-goalkeeper agenda amongst the pundits. I've noticed this.
He's maybe unsighted.
I agree it doesn't go in the corner.
But it goes into the middle of the
goal. It was a great weekend for goalies again.
Oh, it never is. Set. Shock.
By the way, not just Scotland. South of the border as well.
On that note, howler of the weekend.
I'm going to go for Daisy Maeda. And if you watch the Celtic game, if you watch the highlights, you know why. That miss in the first half, I mean, I think he's been almost nearly back to his best over the last two or three games. He's looking like a Daisy Maeda old with such enthusiasm, such intensity. Obviously goes back in his game as well, but I don't think I want to see that one back. You know, it almost ricochets back to him inside the 6 yard box. Yeah. Completely misses the ball.
It's still classic. You win 4-0, it doesn't really matter, but you're right, it was quite a miss. What are you going for?
I'm going to go for Aberdeen defence, because for all it was
the yin and yang of Andy's
ingenious
goal.
Play from Motherwell, Cam Slattery, brilliant. Gordon, even in our prime in the Saturday morning amateur league,
geez.
Can you imagine we'd conceded a goal like that? What's that shout? Switch
what
on.
What are they thinking? I know.
Switch on. Look for the short or the quick corner.
Okay. And top man of the weekend.
Well, you mentioned him at the top of the show. You know, who has Danny Rowe came in and improved? I'm going to go for Mikey Moore as a performer of the weekend. I can only give my honest opinion. And his time at Rangers before Danny Rowe came into the door, I didn't see any good performances. I didn't see any flashes for Mikey Moore to suggest that he was ready for the expectations and the demands at Rangers. Since Danny Rowe's came in the door, I stand corrected. I think he's been excellent in four of the five games that he's played in. And he just looks like a completely different player, given that little bit of freedom and that little bit of free roll to roam about the inside of the pitch and create and get on the end of things. I thought he was excellent at the weekend.
I'm going to go for Martin O'Neill. 73-year-old. He came in when Celtic were at a really low ebb. 3 out of 3 wins domestically, into a cup final, another 4-0 win at home. Okay, Michelin was a blot in the copybook in midweek, Gordon, but another good performance from Celtic. I think Martin O'Neill, it's been entertaining. We don't know if it's going to be his final bow, but I think he's done himself proud.
Right, I've got a theory here, though. I think you think it's going to be his final bow, and that's why you've given him Man of the Weekend, because I don't think you would have.
I think there's a nostalgia attached, I think it's just time for Martin to say sayonara.
Well, that's quite a big shout from David Field at 10 past 6 on a Monday night. What do you think though? 01419511025 Celtic fans, do you think it was Martin O'Neill's final game in charge or not? Rangers fans, is this the start of something? Now, I know how many false dawns have we had on here on a Monday night in the last few seasons, but we've got to ask the question. So get in touch and let us know. Justin is going to kick things off. Hi, Justin.
Hi, guys. How you doing?
What are you thinking tonight?
Andy kind of almost hit the nail on the head with another player. Talking about Mikey Moore and how over the last few games he's seemed to be a different player. The shackles and the pressure seems to be off him a wee bit. He seems to be enjoying his football a wee bit more. But the player I was wanting to talk about was Chermiti. I think for me, watching him, in particular the Roma game that stood out for me, where he seems to be desperate to impress, he's desperate to shake off this, you know, can he finish, can he score thing. But for me, he looks like the most direct, dynamic, aggressive, physical striker that we've got at the club just now. Danilo's maybe a better finisher. Majorski's posted missing, as far as I'm concerned, as a player. But I just think, to see what Andy, the panel, think about if taking the pressure off him a wee bit, is that why Danny Rowe's giving him more opportunities? Is that why he's playing him in the second half yesterday, to try and get him goals, to try and take that necessity to finish off everything he does, to try and get the player? Because for me, he seems like a good player. I just think he looks like a player that's playing under a massive cloud of pressure, doesn't it?
That's already quite complimentary, because a quick look at social media will tell you loads of Rangers fans don't think he's a good player, Andy. So what's your response to Justin's query?
I'm a wee bit torn, to be honest with you, because I watched every minute that Yusuf Chumiti's played for Rangers. And I think it's very harsh on the player, Gordon, but it's so hard to shake off the price tag that he was bought for. And listen, like I says, that's not Yusuf Chumiti's fault, but if I use it as an example, and he was a homegrown player that came through the academy, and you see this 6'6" presence, and you see his pace, you see his directness, but he's technically raw. I played with a striker at Rangers, and Alfredo Morelos, who came to the football club for a lot less money, must be said, but was equally as technically raw, if not less so, than Yusuf Chumiti. And you see what that equated to over these next sort of 5-6 seasons at Rangers. So I think there's a profile of football player to come in, develop, improve.
The you don't think even say he was 2 million quid, would you be getting value for your 2 million?
At this moment in time, I wouldn't say you would, because you've only got one goal. But I would say that there's enough potentially to see you can make an investment in your £2 million. So I think even at this minute in time with Yusuf Chumiti, I've talked about his profile of player, and I think there's loads of room to improve. Even if he gets that, loads of room to improve. You talk about Rangers with a player trade model. How much of that £8 million are you actually making back or selling on for a profit? I just think the inflation of the price makes it really, really difficult to judge the footballer.
Because also, it's not always, I know it kind of is now, but about selling on. Can he score goals that fires you to glory? Is like another way of looking at it, or put performances in.
And I think at this moment in time, in the immediate term, which if you're buying something for £8 million, as much as we're talking about sell on and potential, it's for the immediate. I think at this immediate time, I don't see him scoring 20 goals for Rangers.
Did you see David Fields sharpening his pencil there? Tomorrow's Scottish Sun. Andy Halliday says the new Morelos is in the building. Yusuf
Chumiti. Listen, I think it's a fair assessment, because like I said, I thought Alfredo Morelos was a really, really raw prospect when he came to the football club. Now, he got chucked in and he played games, and season by season he got better and better. Now Yusuf Chumiti might well do that, and like I says, I think at this moment in time I do think he's a better option than Miovsky, because I haven't seen enough of Miovsky when he's played games to suggest he should be the starting striker for Rangers either. But it's really, really difficult to shake off the price that he was bought for.
What do you think, David? Because Justin sounds quite fair, and I like that, and Andy's gone quite fair as well. I've seen a lot of very harsh criticism of Chumiti, who came on yesterday rather than start the game.
Yeah, and I think most of it comes down to the price tag and the fact that it's driven by Kevin Thirlwell, Gordon, to be perfectly honest with you. The fact that he bought him for £10 million for Everton, or it was even more than that, and then brings him to Rangers for such a huge fee, I think has affected people's perception of Chumiti. I'd agree with Andy, I think he does have the raw ingredients, but it's impossible to look at him as a striker now, as you say, that's going to score 20 goals, 25 goals for Rangers. It's just not going to happen. I think there's so much work to be done. Danny Rowe, I would imagine, you know, one of his key targets is to get him firing and get him going. And I do think he put him on at Dens Park yesterday. I know he said after the game ups he wanted fresh legs, but I think he was putting him on there to try and get a goal. Obviously never happened.
Justin's theory is right? It's the ideal scenario if you can not start him, take him out the firing line, and then just really hope he comes on and scores. I mean, especially when Rangers are already comfortable, you know, much like what happened when he got his one goal, but it hasn't materialised again.
I think that's why he was
just put against Eddie Beach. You make that one.
Stop it. Poor Eddie, Kelly goalkeeper.
I think he was definitely put on for that reason, and it's clearly affected him as well, because you saw his celebration when he scored against Kilmarnock, you know, giving a bit back to the fans. So
asking forward shit.
Yeah, well, exactly.
Could you tell me, because it must be murder being on the receiving end of criticism. Why don't players just no do that?
Yeah,
and just don't give Andy an excuse. And then, do you know what? See, when you've banged in 20 and you pick up a winner's medal at the end of the season, you can have your wee pop.
I can't
back.
Imagine he was taking all that much stick off the Dundee fans for it to be directed at him either, but who knows? See, the interesting thing as well with Chumiti for me, Gordon, is I don't think he's ever going to be a natural goal scorer, but I think he can be a goal scorer, if that makes sense. Now, I use the example all the time that if I see Jermaine Defoe go one-on-one with a goalkeeper, I think he's scoring every day of the week. If I see Alfredo Morelos with time to think go one-on-one with a goalkeeper, I'm not as confident, but Alfredo Morelos scored goals. I don't think Yusuf Chumiti is ever going to be that natural finisher.
How do you manage him then, Justin? You know, say the next game comes around, look, we've got a bit of time, but let's say it was in a few days' time. Is that still the right answer, where you don't start him? And then people say, why have you got an £8 to £10 million striker sitting on the bench? And then you try and drip feed him in and hope that he can come off the bench and score. Or do you need to keep putting him back in the firing line and start games and just hope that it turns? How do you manage it?
I genuinely think you've got to keep putting him in. I think he's the best all-round option we've got. He's aggressive, he puts himself about. I like Andy's kind of analogy with Morelos. And you're right, he does come across like a taller, speedier Morelos in certain ways he plays. He puts himself about. The one that stood out for me with me thinking it's more of a pressure and a confidence and a mindset thing for him was the Roma game. There was a ball that he got played through. He was edge of the 6-yard box, and all he had to do was square it. I don't know if it was to Raskin, and it would have been a tap in for him. But instead, he went for goal and skewed it off the side of the net. And everybody's going, oh, geez, you know. But I think he's hit that shot, one, as a striker, because he's wanting to try and finish, but probably more so because he's thinking he has to score. Why, if he would be, he's probably going through his head, if I square this, I'm going to get criticised for squaring it and not hitting a shot. So he's trying to impress. I think if you take that kind of pressure off him to a degree, I think you'll get far more out of him. I agree with Andy, I don't think he's a natural out-and-out goal scorer, but I think he's in a kind of model of a kind of Hately, a kind of Morelos, that kind of somebody that will cause defences problems and score goals. I mean, if you take back, Hately had a nightmare first season at Rangers. He was getting booed off the park, and then we all know where that turned out, and they end up in the same with Morelos. So I think you've got to keep putting him in, because I genuinely think he's the best all-round offering that we've got up front at the moment.
By the way, of course, Rangers won yesterday and won comfortably, and it's three wins in a row, so I don't want to make this all sound negative. We can get to the positive stuff for sure. Give us a call. But just since we're on the subject of strikers, is Chirmiti's issue being blown up? Because a name that Justin mentioned earlier is that Bojan Majovski is really not doing it either and not helping him out. And yeah, the fee was smaller, but he's also the one that everybody, we would all hold our hands up and say, oh, he's proven in the league and he's young and he's an international, he's gone off to La Liga, and although it hasn't worked, he's bound to be better for the experience. What's happened to him?
Yeah, I think he's struggled so far. Look, if I remember Bojan Majovski at Aberdeen, I always think of, you know, playing in the shoulders, a back fours, and try to run in the back of things, or running behind and finishing in the box. And I think at the moment at Rangers, I think he's really struggling when he's playing in, you know, tight congested areas. I think his link up play has been quite sloppy. I see a lot of people talk about the lack of service that's been created for him, but I think a lot of the attacks are actually breaking down at the strikers at the minute for them to actually get chances created for them. So I think he's really struggling. And the mad thing is, Gordon, you know, we've just spoken about Chirmiti and Majovski and Danilo, 8 million, 3 million, 6 million. I think if Danny Rowe gets money to play with in January, I think the first thing he buys is a striker.
Are Rangers going to spend more money, a lot more money on a striker though?
Well, the question is does Danny Rowe get, you know, a pot to play with? Just, I don't think he'll be anywhere close to the money that Russell Martin spent in the summer. But I think if he gets a set fee, you know, 6, 7, 8 million pounds, says, you know, go and sign 2-3 players, I don't see it anyway. It's not a striker.
Justin, it's 3 league wins in a row. It obviously, that wouldn't in other circumstances be cause for celebration, but you can only build, you know, one step at a time. Is it the start of something? Are you allowing yourself to get any excitement at all, or is it still too early?
No, it's still too early. As I say, all Rangers fans are looking for just now, that I know of. And as I say, we're fed up whinging, moaning. We all know what's happened for the start of the season. I think what Rangers fans are looking for now is stability and progression. They're looking to see get the better out of players. For me, I know you've talked about Mikey Moore and stuff like that, but for me, there's too many loan players, and especially Deja at the back has been chaos. He's been he's almost like a 13th player or a 12th player for the opposing team half the time. I think he causes carnage at the back and indecision and panic around situations. But we've got players just now that should be ours. I mean, for Mikey Moore, as much as he's come onto a game the last couple of weeks, I'd be playing Finlay Curtis, getting our 17-year-old experience and playing with better players and getting used to that kind of environment, as opposed to having to play somebody else's 17-year-old and give them experience and everything else. But I think the Rangers fans are looking for now. We're not getting carried away. But I think it's progression and a bit of stability is what we're looking for.
Top man, Justin, what do you all think out there? Are you agreeing, disagreeing with what you've heard? Think there was something missed from that game at Dens? Give us a call right now, please. Celtic fans, what did you make of yesterday and the bigger picture? Was it the final time you'll see Martin O'Neill prowling that touchline, or is there more life left in him yet? Give us a call and we'll speak to you next.
0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
David Friel and Andy Halliday are here. Plenty of time to give them a call. It's 0141 951 1025. Howard is in the Gorbals. He's a Celtic fan. How are you, Howard?
Not too bad at all, and thanks for taking my call.
It's our pleasure.
Before I make my point to Andy, I'll just say I hope Martin is in his job a wee while longer. Lead Celtic out, win the League Cup, and then we get the Bodo Glimt manager. So that's what my hope is.
Right, so you don't think, well, obviously, you don't think yesterday was the last time you'll see him? You think he stays?
If Celtic want the Bodo Glimt manager, yes, I think he'll stay.
Let's just quickly hear, because I'm glad you brought it up, Howard. Let's hear what Martin O'Neill had to say yesterday on his future. Of course, he's been asked a lot at the moment. This is the latest update, if you like.
I'm going to go into a darkened room and come out on Thursday and see, has this really happened? I should imagine at some stage or another during the course of the next week, somebody will let me know what's happening. I really don't know. What I was really going to say, it's a young man's game, and I'm almost talking myself out of this here, but it's been tough, you know. All the things that I kind of thought I knew about it have come to sort of fruition, you know, but this the strength of the side. If I'm leaving now, I'm going to tell the next manager he has got the greatest squad that's ever lived. And then if I'm staying on, I'm saying we've got a lot of work to do. So there we are. Okay.
I mean, based purely on that, that doesn't sound like a guy that thinks he's staying, David, but then that's just one clip, and he has said other times that, you know, he's willing to stay if he has to. Howard thinks he's staying and you don't. Tell us why.
I just think when he first came in that it was... The natural break came at this point. I think Martin O'Neill himself had... I know he was very vague on it, but I think initially Celtic probably looked at these four games up until an international break as the time for Martin O'Neill to come in, with Sean Maloney steady the ship, and then move on. I just feel Celtic are in a title fight. They've got a cup final coming up, and they've got a massive January window coming up, and I think they need a permanent manager, and I don't think Martin O'Neill is going to be that man.
Howard, though, and others are looking at that time frame and saying that they want the Bodo Glimt manager... And therefore you might have to wait. Does this mean you don't think it will be him, or you can somehow get him out early?
I don't think you could get him out early, because if you look at Bodo Glimt's Champions League schedule, yeah, it runs until the end of January, Gordon. And these are the four teams have still got to play: Juve, Borussia Dortmund, Man City and Atletico Madrid. Now Kjetil Knutsen has built Bodo Glimt for nothing. I would be amazed if he walked away from that, to see that through at the very least. So that would take you into late January. I don't think Celtic can wait that long. I think it's...
So he's not the guy then?
I don't think it will be him. I could be wrong, but I don't think it will be him. I think it's pointing more towards others. The one who's now the front runner is Wilfred Nancy, the Columbus Crew head coach. He is a left field candidate. However, there are links with people at Celtic. Head of Operations Paul Tisdale used to work with Wilfred Nancy's assistant manager
at Exeter. Who's Ethan Ampadu's
Ethan Ampadu's dad. So it's Kwame Ampadu is a Columbus Crew assistant coach who worked with Paul Tisdale at Exeter. I think right from the start, Wilfred Nancy's name was mentioned. Everybody was saying, where's that come from? He has won the MLS Cup and something else, the Leeds Cup as well with Columbus Crew. He gets a good name, a good reputation. I think it would be a major gamble, but I think it would, if Celtic are going to go down the route of a foreign coach, I think it looks more likely to be Wilfred Nancy.
Andy, do you think that was Martin O'Neill's last stand, or hard to know?
Yeah, I don't know. It'll be interesting though. I think he's been good for the game. I think he's been good for the Scottish game. He's obviously had some fantastic things with Celtic and clubs in Britain in the past. And listen, I think he's came in at a difficult time for Celtic, and I think he's got an immediate reaction out the players. Actually, what I watched the majority of the Michelin game during the week, I don't think that was a sign of Martin O'Neill's shortcomings. I thought it was probably more Celtic squad shortcomings and where they fall short in European football. But it remains to be seen whether it'll be his last game or not. But I do tend to think that, you know, Celtic will make a permanent appointment sooner rather than later.
Okay. What else was on your mind, Howard?
God almighty, I got home from the game yesterday really happy, and my son sent me a video. Now, Andy, the one thing I can say about you, you were a good professional, a fair professional. Watching that clip, Adaiza Maeda, at least a yard away, putting his leg in, nowhere near the Kilmarnock player, and for him to jump in the air, deliberately trying to get him sent off, I thought that was absolutely disgusting, and I hope he gets at least a 1-2 game ban for that.
Yeah, I don't know if people will have seen this because it's not a televised game.
I was wondering where that was going for.
and ultimately, you don't need me to tell you, sort of red cards, penalties, yeah. These are the ones that are, you know, get the real headlines. But it's doing the rounds on social media a lot. Dyson made us booking James Brown, the Kilmarnock right back. There is no contact, would that be fair?
Yeah,
no contact at all. 2 yards.
I was at the game working. And I even thought at the time there wasn't. I've got the benefit of a monitor, obviously, when I'm working there. And
I think in first glance you wonder whether Dyson Maeda has just nicked him. I don't think he has at all. But I think what kills James Brown, to be perfect honest with you, is the delayed reaction.
His legs are planted, and then he jumps up.
He does have his 2 feet in the ground.
I actually despise these situations in football, both for a defensive corner to an attacking corner. We all see the one, the attacking corners, where defenders getting got pressure behind, just falls in the ball. Likewise, defensively, when they clear a ball and they know that somebody's coming to try and block and they just throw themselves to the ground, I hate it. I'd be quite more disappointed than Don Robertson, though, because he's clearly felt, he's seen something that he's not. Mm-hmm. He obviously thinks he's seen a bit of contact there for Dyson Maeda, but no, when you see the replays, I mean, he's so far away. Is it Brown, is that right?
Yeah, James Brown.
Yeah, James Brown.
It seems like depends who you want to blame. If a referee gets something wrong and makes a mistake, they're going to get blamed for it. There are times when players need to help referees out, though, and just sort of not do those things. Because it's not even one where, we've all seen it before, like, and let's be honest, and this opens up a whole different debate. You're in the box and you feel some contact, you know, you might go down. That's not really what happened there. And of course, look, referees need to spot things, but it'd be nice if players sort of helped out a bit, wouldn't it?
I think the reaction's so theatrical that Don Robertson must feel that, well, there has to be contact, because why would he just go down like that? If there was nothing yet, look, it wasn't good. It was embarrassing, really. And you could see Dyson Maeda at the time was really upset about it, thinking, what's going on here?
I played under James Brown's manager as well, and he will not like that. I'd be very surprised if he's not had a quiet word with James Brown today or tomorrow whenever they're back in, because I don't think that would go down well with Stuart Caterwell either.
I was going to say, it's a good job. It's like, you imagine that leads to a penalty or whatever, but then of course VAR in theory would even, I know it's gets a lot of stick, but they wouldn't stand, do you know what I mean, once it was seen again. Come on. Like,
are you sure?
I think so. I wouldn't bet on it, but yeah, it was it wasn't too clever. Happy enough with the win, Howard, and again I thought it was funny, you said you were at the game, is that right?
Yes, I was at the game,
and I noticed when they read out the Hearts score there was like a cheer which was kind of like, how would you describe it? Like, almost tongue-in-cheek, as if to say, well, this is good, and it's good that the gap's been cut, but we shouldn't really be in this position anyway. But ultimately, you have cut the gap, Howard. Do you think this is the start of Celtic taking over, well, or are you...
Like I say, I mean, what can you say about Martin O'Neill? He just brings that confidence. Yeah, listen, Hearts are still in the lead. There's a good way to go. But I was just thinking to myself, when you mentioned his name, maybe the Kilmarnock player when he was in the air was singing "I'm a Soul Man."
Howard, I'd be lying if I thought that yesterday when I was at the game, I was trying for a couple of James Brown puns, and I thought I'll just leave it. So I'm glad you were here to produce. Dave, that maybe I would totally accept the accusation that I'm really overanalyzing a cheer when a score was read out, but that's just kind of how it felt. The Celtic fans were never going to go, "Yes, come on," like, you know. But at the same time, there was an acknowledgement there that this was a piece of good news coming from Tynecastle.
I think there has to be. Look, I think most Celtic fans will feel that Hearts won't last the pace. However, they've set the pace. They've still got a healthy lead as things stand, and Celtic need to chip away at it. The one man I'm thinking about, though, with Hearts is Hugh Keevans. Gordon, he's gone from saying champions elect to bottle merchants.
Has he?
In the space of 24 hours.
He needs reined in, he does. Honestly. Someone sent me a picture of him in Slater's today, picking up a new suit. The first time in about 40 years, probably. So I'll need to make some inquiries to see what he's been up to. Andy, like I said, that depends what way you look at it. The order of things is hard to ignore. Where Hearts' position just a couple of weeks ago was so much stronger than it is now. But it's also impossible to ignore that that cliched way of looking at it, that you can't say, if you had offered Hearts this at the start of the season, it is a no-brainer. You'd rather be in their position than everyone else's. It's not like we're five games in, we've played a full round of fixtures, and even at the moment, their blips, and I'm doing air quotes here for people who are listening to radio, are a draw away at St Mirren. Who cares? Andy can draw away at St Mirren. And yeah, your Dundee United come and hold you. Is that the end of the world?
No, of course not. I think the biggest disappointment for Derek McInnes will be the performance, to be honest with you. Of course, the result will disappoint him, but I think it's by far and away Hearts' poorest performance in the league, maybe alongside the game against ourselves, Motherwell, for 60 minutes. But I just thought they looked pretty flat compared to what they've been. I think when I've watched Hearts this year, it's been attacking at pace. It's been throwing their set of blocks and crosses. I thought Zach Sapsford gave Hearts problems all day long. And again, it's not
ever
really
seen
been the
player
that we've watched.
Three goals disallowed for offside, though.
But every one of them been fairly convincingly offside. That might be quite
close.
The last
one, he's about 5 yards offside in front of the goalie, and he doesn't even think about celebrating.
There's also when he's 2 yards offside and starts wagging his finger.
I know,
the
first one, I know, behave.
The thing is, though, Gordon, like he says, I remember a couple of weeks ago we were talking about, but the next time Celtic play in the league, it could be 14 points. No,
yeah.
In the same time frame, it's now 7. Mm-hmm. So it just shows you how quickly it can change.
In terms of, conclusions that you can draw from Celtic's performances and so on at the moment, David, most of it you're leaning towards Martin O'Neill, but another injury yesterday as well in Marcelo Cerracci, who I think Celtic fans like and has performed well. He's also the only alternative, really. Liam Scales, the only alternative really to Kieran Tierney, who hasn't managed to stay in the team and put a run together. Well done to him for scoring a fantastic goal yesterday. But that's another I can see him shaking his head because he wants to blame the goalie for Kieran Tierney's
fantastic
goal.
I must admit, come on.
I just like to give credit to
what
I
would, it's a good strike.
What I would say about the goalkeeper, to give the goal, he should have been shut down. I mean, they give Kieran Tierney far too much. But again, does it go into the corner?
Goalies out here want to come and defend themselves? The point I was trying to make is it's another injury in a potentially key area.
Yeah.
And they're racking up at a serious rate at the moment.
Yeah, I mean, if you look right now, Celtic are without Cerracci, Jota, Cameron Carter-Vickers, Alistair Johnston, Kelechi Iheanacho and Callum Osmond. That's, I mean...
With the news that Osmond's away for surgery and it won't be seen anytime soon.
Yeah.
So is Alistair Johnston, which will be a real
and
worrying
update. Normally hamstring surgery, you would think, is minimum 3 months. Mm-hmm. I don't think we've had an actual prognosis.
And
but
by the way, Cerracci, for anyone who wasn't at the game, he almost got stretchered off. So that just doesn't look like it was just a small tweak that he felt. When he was about to get the stretcher, he managed to hobble. Saw Callum Osmond in the tunnel yesterday, still limping really heavily from Thursday. So another one there. Squeeze in Brian quickly before the break. Brian, what are your thoughts on Russell Martin? Russell Martin, it says on my screen. It's, do you know why it is, right? Obviously, it tells me just a quick point. It says Brian and it just says Martin. It says Martin. And I just went into autocorrect.
I shivered there.
Sorry. Martin O'Neill is missing.
That was bad.
You don't want Russell Martin as the new Celtic manager, no?
You have a laugh.
Nah, I thought you might say that.
No, it's just 2 points. First one is just to deal with the players. I know the injuries that we've got, but I think with the Chinese, the boys that came in, it's no other chance. I think if you give them a chance, see how they go. Nothing to lose. The second one is about Martin O'Neill. I would actually hope that he would stay at the end of the season. The reason being is because if you're getting a new manager in, come the January, you don't get the best players. Some of the players that you're looking at are still with the clubs. And like I say, I don't have an issue with Martin O'Neill being there. I think he's actually kind of galvanised that a wee bit because you can see the players, you can see their attitude, you can see they've got a bit of hunger there. And they're willing. And I'm actually happy for him to stay at the end of the season. And I know you're talking about the Bodo Glimt manager. I think if Celtic are going to go down that road to get him, I think they would just say, right, well, Martin, can you stay at the end of the season? And I think Martin would say, aye. And then that would give Celtic a chance to get him in, get him in the players. He can have a look at the players that he's got. Then in the summer, get the players in, and then he can get them into all pre-season, get them all fired up, which I think it's a bit crammed if you're asking him to come in and kind of, because if he's wanting players that he's not going to get in January, then it's going to be a case that the fans will go, oh, here we go, the ball's going to cough it again.
I get all this. It just feels like, David, it's only November. And as you said, there's a title race, a League Cup final, a European campaign and a Scottish Cup campaign. This is not a Celtic shouldn't be in a holding pattern at the moment. And, you know, because then Martin O'Neill would then need to be in charge of the January window. It just feels like...
Yeah, I mean, that's the... I mean, Martin O'Neill and Sean Maloney came in and bought time. And it was precious time for Celtic, and they've produced performances, results in domestically. Gordon, but as you say, Celtic can't be in a holding pattern when you've got pretty much, what, three quarters of the season to go and you're still competing in four fronts. Why would you, you know, and this is nothing against Martin O'Neill, and if Martin O'Neill was to stay until the end of the season, I don't think it's a disaster for Celtic. I just feel Celtic as a club, for where they're at just now, really need to have a permanent manager who can go and try and build something for a couple of years at the very least, not just someone who's happy to see out the season.
Thank you, Brian. Let me tell you about this before we go on any further. Wow, a huge life-changing sum of money up for grabs here. £625,000 you have to enter, of course. Make me a winner, giving you that opportunity to get 100 entries into the draw. Text BANK to 61025. The texts are £10 plus your standard network rate. For £2.50 plus your standard network rate, you get 15 entries and you text YES to 61025. If that's the route you want to go down, or you can call 03434 269 340, and the calls will be charged at your standard rate. It is over 18s only. The online entry and all the rules for this network competition are at makemeawinner.co.uk. Lines close at 5pm on Friday. Somebody wins the lot. Every last penny, it might as well be you. Text YES to 61025. Good luck.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde 1 Super Scoreboard.
Andy Halliday and David Friel of the Scottish Sun are with you tonight, waiting on all your calls. So let's get stuck straight back in with Craig, who is in Airdrie. Hi Craig.
Alright Gordon, how you doing, pal?
Good, what are you thinking?
Just a wee question for Andy. Andy, obviously I know that you're a good Rangers man, obviously.
Is he? That's news to me, that.
He's had a fantastic career, obviously. I'd like to ask him just a quick point about Twandanda, Mashwanisi, if you think if Rangers could possibly do a deal in January.
If Andy tries to sell Mashwanisi to anybody, in fact, right now, I'm going to pull his cable out his mic. But go on, answer it diplomatically. I'll be watching and listening.
You wouldn't take him, no chance. No, he's been excellent. I don't think it's any secret that if players do well at clubs, you know, there'll obviously be potentially suitors and potentially people looking at him. But he's been fantastic for us this year. I think a lot of that, I think JT or Mashwanisi will put down to the manager and the trust he's instilled in him, played him in every game, played him in a position that suits him, and given him a lot of freedom to get in the box and get on the end of things, create chances, score goals. And I think he's been absolutely fantastic for us. I think he's at 9 goals potentially.
No competition.
We're sitting in November, so. No, he's well on pace to get 20 goals and 20 goals in a season for any Motherwell player is absolutely fantastic, but especially somebody that's playing in the right wing, in the right hand side of a midfield. But that being said, I think he's pretty happy where he is.
Good answer.
Andy Wright's just, we've obviously lost a lot of goals with obviously Dessos, Czerny and Agyeman, but it's like, I just see like, Kisama, he scored a fantastic finish yesterday. I can't take that away for the boy. But it's just, I want somebody who knows the Scottish game quite well. Obviously, Mashwanisi, he's got the speed, he's got the power, he's got the finishing. I think that he'd be a great addition to the Rangers squad.
Miovski was meant to know the Scottish game though. It's always difficult to know how it translates.
Yeah, we've seen so many good examples of people going to the Old Firm for other clubs in Scotland. We've seen some not so good examples as well. I think at this moment in time, I do still think, even though, listen, Rangers scored 3 goals, they've won a game, and you know, people will tell me it's a game they should be winning, but this is the games that Rangers haven't been winning for such a long period of time. I still didn't think it quite clicked at the top end of the pitch. I'm going to use Hugh Keevan's and Martin O'Neill's actually favourite phrase in XG, you know, 0.8 XG. You know, it's... isn't enough for me.
What was the XG yesterday?
0.8.
Was it? Yeah. Got 3 goals off it.
3 goals, yeah.
There you go.
Well, you look at where the goals came from as well. Gassama's said goal of the weekend, 25 yards out, Mikey Moore outside the box. Nico Raskin showed that he's the best pound for pound header in world football.
Here's one, right? Bear with me here. You know how nowadays football, modern football, analytics through the roof. We always talk about hour upon hour of match analysis, opposition analysis, cameras everywhere. Do you think Scottish clubs should simply try and not let Nico Raskin do that every time, considering he's quite good at it? You know that wee front post run, that flicked header? Has it dawned on anybody to try and stop him? Because he seems to get way more space than someone of his ability should get, given that he's now done it loads of times.
Well, it's funny because, you know, you look at Dundee and they've got the half zonal, half man marking set up, and the three man markers will go and pick Rangers' three biggest players, and I think it was Cornelius Suter and I think it may have actually been Miofsky. I mean, if you're man marked anybody at Rangers at the moment, it's Nico Raskin. He seems to be the most
very
dangerous.
Very good at it, isn't he?
All attacking set plays.
Yeah, he is. But it was interesting. Stephen Pressler after the game was kind of talking about the zonal, half zonal thing. But he said, oh, I know the details of why we conceded the goal, and we'll work on it. And you think, well, what are the details? Mm-hmm. Surely someone just picks him up. Is it that simple?
It seemed very easy for him. But he's obviously good at it because it's not like it's the first time he's done it. Craig, turning point or too early? What do you think?
Thing is, as well, like Nico Raskin, from being such a small player, like he's so good in the air. He's like, for an aerial, he's just so dynamic in the air. It's like he just finds a wee pocket of spaces, and obviously, probably being Andy, obviously I'd imagine he'd love to play in midfield with Dale Mandy and Raskin. It's just like it's just the wee pocket of spaces that he finds. He's just dead dynamic. But I think the last couple of weeks that he's kind of been. Because obviously Rangers, Danny Rowe's been playing this 4-4-2 formation in the league, but I think it's just kind of, he's just playing a wee bit more deeper. But obviously my main point is to Andy, obviously us getting that result yesterday, do you think this is a good step? Do you think this is a good step for Rangers heading, obviously maybe Hearts having a bump in the
road? No, they did drop points, to be fair, you're right. What do you think? Can I say that to Craig? To put it in really simple terms, are we at a turning point yet for Rangers now, or is it?
I think you've got to say it is, in the terms of, well, no, when was the last time Rangers won three domestic games in a row? Or I actually don't know when it would be, but it would be a long period of time. And I think Danny Rowe has made Rangers harder to beat. I think he's made them a lot better off the ball. No, you obviously, aside for a poor goal they concede for a Jack Butler mistake against Kilmarnock, that's the only goal they've conceded in the three league games. They go to Easter Road against a good Hibs side sitting third in the league and get a clean sheet there. They go to Dundee at the weekend there, keep a clean sheet, and to be honest didn't really look like conceding throughout. So I think off the ball there's been a monumental improvement there. I think, you know, in possession attack, in an attacking sense going forward, I don't think it's quite clicked yet, but we see it so many times, Gordon, when you see with managers coming in midway through the season, they don't have the 6, 7, 8 weeks of pre-season to embed everything. They try and take it a bit by bit, and I think he's quite right to focus on Rangers' fragility defensively to try and work on straight away, and I think that looks a lot better. And I don't think there's anything wrong by looking up the way, but for me I think it's way too early to be looking at Hearts title challenge, potential title winners. I think they're a long way away for that.
I can see a run where Rangers did win three Premiership games in a row back in,
was it 2018?
No, in February. But the only problem being that run was broken up by losing to Queen's Park in the Scottish Cup. So you might not have noticed that they managed it in that spell. Look, quite often on a Monday we're good for a refereeing hoo-ha. They manage, they matter a lot less, of course, when teams win. I think the closest we came yesterday. Do you understand Mikey Moore's disallowed goal?
Yeah, because I think Mo Diamandis interfering with play when he's standing in front of the goalkeeper. But yeah,
while, because there is a lot going on, to be fair. You've got to obviously work all the through it all, attacking phase of play, and people were thinking, is Moore himself offside?
Yeah. I think you could even see from Mikey Moore's celebration, he realised that there was something amiss.
Yeah, but I wonder if he thought he was.
Yeah, true.
It was funny, Andy, sometimes these things fall in your lap, because a couple of hours later, Liverpool score, Andy Robertson, our own, ducks out the way, and that one's really going in the corner. That's really not in the goalkeeper's sight. I think if anyone's got enough time in their hands, and you'll remember this, there was an almost, I'm going to say identical, Callum Slattery for Motherwell at Tynecastle last year, and it featured on a VAR review from last season, and Willie Collum's explanation was, if you're jumping over the ball then, you know, you've had an impact. So ultimately, when it goes through Diamandé's legs, I don't think it's ever standing. If he manages to move out the way of it, maybe, but yeah. Is it the fact it goes through his legs?
Yeah. To be honest, Gordon, if you're asking me about the situation, I think it's rightly, ruled out. But I think there is arguments both ways. But I think the defining factor for me is when you actually watch it back, John McCracken actually has to move. He has to physically move out of sort of 2 yards to the side to actually see the ball because Diamandé's in the way of the shot. Now, the argument will probably be, but he can see the shot and he can still save it, but he's actually made his position more difficult. I think if he's in the position he's originally in, he might be able to catch it and then it doesn't get rebounded, obviously, put in the rebound. So I can see the arguments, but I think it is rightly.
Because I did see people saying, well, he still managed to save it, but that is quite obviously not the point, is it? I mean, that's just not the way to look at it.
To me, it's not one you can really have too many complaints about. I think even Mohamed Diamandé will know that.
Can I tell you something? If I was a Liverpool fan, I'd have complaints.
I thought the Liverpool one was similar logic and way worse. Because Donnarumma's at full
He's just not saving it.
Is it? But even if I don't even think that necessarily comes into it, but he's at full
I'm just using the point. I just don't think, regardless if he's there.
Before the ball reaches Andy Robertson's, I thought it was a really strange one. But anyway, not just us that argues about refereeing.
Well, yes, well, that Navarra review about just Andy Robertson's.
Because he's Scottish.
Yeah, he may as well.
I don't know if our remit goes that far. Might be a busy month, enough with the Scottish incidents. Anyway, thank you for all the calls. Let's play this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Right, Beat the Pundit time. It's your chance to come on and show your superior football knowledge, but you have to call before 7 o'clock. 0141 951 1025.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Andy Halliday and David Friel of the Scottish Sun are here at 01419511025. If you want to join in, loads to get through tonight, of course. A busy Sunday, which means we're reacting to all of that. There's a different ways of looking at it. You can just analyse the games themselves and the big talking points, or jump straight to the bigger picture. Is it the start of something, Rangers fans, or are you going to have to wait a bit longer? Was it Martin O'Neill's final game in charge? Are Hearts starting to slide, or is it just a small blip? Loads to get through. Give us a call and we will speak to you after we play this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Okay, Beat the Pundit time. One of David Friel or Andy Halliday will play. Shane from Cambus Lang will definitely play. How are you, Shane?
I'm not bad, how are you?
Not bad, Shane, not bad. You ever played before?
Nope.
Okay.
And I've been trying for years because I've been proving to my wife that I can do this.
Well, Shane, I'm sure it was Friday night or last week someone said that and they almost got a zero and their wife was ashamed of them. So I've got higher hopes for you. What made you call tonight?
My kids are in the car and they were laughing and wanting to make phone.
Brilliant. What are your kids' names?
Conlon and Ola.
Right. You two are going to give your dad some help back there?
Yeah.
Good. I bet you know more than he does. So just you keep him on the right track. We'll toss the coin. If it's the blue side, it will be Andy Halliday. And the red side, it will be David Friel. Let's see how we go. And it is the red side. It's David Friel. Who did you want, Shane, out of curiosity?
Oh, Andy Halliday.
Why?
Because my wife likes his wife and I just
want
to be him.
My wife likes his wife. Understandable. I'm sure many listeners feel the same. It's that Instagram generation. I'm sure Mrs. Friel's lovely as well for Andy who's interested, I'm sure. But anyway, you're going to play David, who will be up against Shane. So we give David something else to listen to. 30 seconds on the clock. Shane, answer as many as you can and just pass if you do not know the answer, okay? Right, 30 seconds and your time starts now. Ross McCrory currently plays for which club?
Bristol City.
Which team are last alphabetically in the Scottish Premiership?
Kilmarnock.
Craig Bellamy was on loan from which club when he played for Celtic?
Newcastle.
In what Greek city will Scotland play this Saturday?
Athens.
Name any Scotland international that scored in the Scottish Premiership at the weekend.
Oh, pass.
True or false, Cowdenbeath became the first Scottish club to launch a season ticket for dogs. What is that? What is that? Goodness sake. David Friel, can you hear us?
Yes.
Good. I'm just still at one of the questions.
I heard what is that?
Shaking my head, honestly. Are you ready?
Yes.
Same set of questions. 30 seconds on the clock. Your time starts now. Ross McCrory currently plays for which club?
Bristol City.
Which team are last alphabetically in the Scottish Premiership?
Pass.
Craig Bellamy was on loan from which club when he played for Celtic?
In Newcastle.
In which Greek city will Scotland play this Saturday?
Piraeus.
Name any Scotland international that scored in the Scottish Premiership at the weekend.
Josh Mulligan.
True or false? Cowdenbeath became the first Scottish club to launch a season
false.
Ticket for dogs. Which SPFL side play at Station Park?
Forfar.
Okay. Shane, how do you think it went?
The Greek one, I think, that was the Scottish international one as well.
Well, let's go through them. Let's find out. Ross McCrory plays for which club? It is Bristol City. And you both got it. I think you need a certain level of knowledge to know that. So Shane, I had high hopes for you at this point. Both of you clear. Well, in fact, David's bottle went. Shane, I don't know what you were thinking. Kilmarnock, nowhere near it. St Mirren, alphabetically, are last.
I feel as if that's a regular beat the pundit question. That
David's gone middle. David's gone first half of the alphabet. Honestly. Anyway, St Mirren it was, 1-1 after two questions. Craig Bellamy was on loan from Newcastle. You both got it. So well done to you. I was actually worried that Andy was going to get the questions tonight because you asked
how mad's that?
You asked me in the office what city.
Because I seen the stadium was called like Karaskis Stadium. Yeah. I was like, that's no.
Piraeus it is. Yeah, I think, but they did play in Piraeus the last time as well, didn't they? So that's why, David, did you go?
No.
For work, no. But yeah, it is Piraeus. I'm just passing it. The last time we played. Or someone else played. Did England play Greece? I can't remember. I just remember watching something on Sky and this guy came on. He was an expert and he just kept saying it was the poor part or like the poor bit of Athens or like the and I've no idea if that's true. But there we go. Piraeus it is. One up to David Friel. Name any Scotland international that scored in the Premiership this weekend. You had me worried because he got a late call up, Mulligan, didn't he?
Yeah, but I don't think
no
he
caps.
Played. I know.
So your choices were, and this is where the term. Do you consider, are you always an international?
Yeah.
So once you've been capped?
Yeah, I think once you've capped.
Fine,
capped.
Yeah. Danny Wilson?
Yeah.
Unlikely to get a recall. Chris Cadden?
Yep.
Kieran Tierney. Goodness, no, he didn't score. It wasn't him. It was Kieran Tierney. None of you got it, which means David Friel still leads by one.
You've won.
We're not finished yet. True or false? Cowdenbeath became the first.
That's got to be true. That's
Scottish
just too random.
To lose a season ticket for dogs. David said false. It's true.
Nah,
and
it
Shane
was so
got
random.
It. Equaliser. Did they? I mean, why?
He's going to win the last morning.
So hold on, though. I'm trying to get the thinking here. Does this suggest that do you need a ticket for your dog?
It's barking, man.
Exactly, you need three season tickets for your dogs. Honestly, the mind boggles. And Shane, at least your powers of prediction are good because he did get it on the last one. Station Park, 4-4. He didn't even sound convincing.
I would never have got that.
You were panicking a bit.
I was thinking breaking, but no, it's Glee Park.
Just working through them. 4-4. Shane, it was a perfectly good go. What do you think? Did Dad do a good enough job in the car?
Yeah.
Yeah, listen, we'll give him the benefit of the doubt. He didn't win, but it was good enough. You guys all enjoy your night, okay?
No night game, tell the wife.
I know. Well, listen, tell her Mrs. Halliday says thanks for her social media likes.
They've given you a 5-3 win on there. Oh, YouTube.
If you watch YouTube, they think you've won 5-3, so quick, get a screenshot of that, Shane.
And you can.
Honestly, Shane, you're a good man. Who's your team? Martin O'Neill, last game yesterday or not?
Yes, last game.
Well, that's interesting because most of our callers, I don't know what's in that, but most of our callers seem to think no. Why do you think so?
It's just nostalgia taking care of. They're leaving me the heart, man, but you kind of need somebody to take care of that's going to be a project and aim for the future. He's just not the future. Goodbye, mate.
And you can't really argue about that logic from Shane. Listen, we'll let you go, Shane. You get the kids in the car. Thank you very much for taking part.
Cheers, thank you.
There we go. Shane saying it's just a nostalgia taking over. Nothing wrong with that, I think, for some people. It depends. And, but by the way, maybe some people don't think it is. Maybe people would argue they think, no, that sort of strategically it is the right thing to do. What are your junctions, right? So if end of the international break becomes the first obvious point, but maybe it doesn't need to come at an obvious point. If you go beyond that, does the League Cup final become a thing, Or is that the very definition of nostalgia? And then after that, that's the middle of December, you're obviously going to January.
I think during this break, Gordon, in terms of junctions, I think Celtic has to be clarity. So whether it's a new manager appointed or whether Martin O'Neill
statement,
it's announced that we've got X person coming in X month next year, but Martin O'Neill's going to stay on until then, or Martin O'Neill is going to stay on until the summer. I think there has to be clarity in the next 2 weeks. I mean, Celtic have got this AGM on November 21st, next Friday.
Mm-hmm.
You would imagine that something...
That'll be interesting.
Yeah, it will be. I'll be quiet.
Think Dermot Desmond will come this time?
I don't think so. I think his son will probably come, Ross. He normally comes in his place. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think Celtic would want to. I think they have to as well, because, you know, by the end of this next international break, that'll be almost a month since Brendan Rodgers left. So yeah, I don't think it's too much to ask for some solutions by that stage.
Yeah, I think people are looking at sort of signs of freshness. Callum Osmond became the embodiment of that. He's gone from no minutes to playing, looked lively, and now it's all over so quickly with a hamstring injury. Did you expect to see Jamai Simpson-Pusey in the starting lineup yesterday?
No,
I guess it was forced up to a point, because he was obviously playing at right back.
Yeah, but I mean, Celtic did have... He could have played Anthony Ralston or Colby Donovan there as well. Yeah,
Donovan wasn't in the squad, I don't think.
But I do think it was a stage where... And you've seen that with Osmond as well. Shin Yamada being back on the bench as well recently. I think Celtic... I mean, Jamal Simpson-Pusey came up and Celtic kind of beat off interest from pretty much the entire English Championship to get him on loan. And that was the first minutes he's played on Sunday, Gordon. And I think with the new regime in just now, I think there has been an onus to use the entire squad and guys that were maybe cast aside by Brendan Rodgers to give them a chance. I think he did okay. He's not a right back. He's a central defender. He did okay without being anything absolutely special, but it was good for him probably just to get that first appearance.
Maybe a push, Andy. If we project a bit, if Sarachi's out, and I don't think anyone necessarily expects Kieran Tierney to play every game at left back, does it become a possibility that Liam Scales becomes the left back, and then you see Jamai Simpson-Pusey, and then you see Austin Trustee actually playing on the left hand side? Is that the most likely way that he gets more game time?
Yeah, I think so. Listen, we've seen Liam Scales operate at that left back position a number of times already this season. When Kieran Tierney wasn't quite fit enough to complete 90 minutes, he was quite often the one that was sacrificed after 60-70 minutes, and Liam Scales was moving over to that left back slot. And I think he's, anytime Liam Scales has played there, I think he's competed fairly well. I think centre half certainly his best position. It'll be interesting. You know, we're hearing it's a long time, but how much is a long time for Sarachi? Is that a long time enough for Celtic to look at that position in January? Remains to be seen.
I don't know if there was there much else to glean from the personnel. I said this last week a lot about the sample size being small, and you feel kind of stuck in this rut where you don't want to take anything away from Celtic beating Kilmarnock 4-0. It's job done and it's good, but when you get into those games as such overwhelming favourites, there's always going to be only so much that you can sort of learn or get carried away with. You know, it was a similar fixture to Falkirk, probably. In fact, even, sorry, Kilmarnock fans, easier on paper, because they came in the back of four consecutive defeats.
But we spent so much time, Gordon, talking about Celtic's sort of kind of struggle to hit the goal trail as much as they had at the start of last season. So I think to get successive 4-0 wins in the league, obviously score 3 goals against Rangers as well, I think Martin O'Neill in that sense has done his job in terms of lifting it and making Celtic a bigger threat. I also think Johnny Kenny, you know, that was 4 goals in 3 domestic games under Martin O'Neill. He's got a recall to the Public Island squad as well today as well. So he's a guy who, I know Callum Osmond got a lot of headlines, but I think Johnny Kenny's done particularly well for Celtic over the last couple of weeks, and is a guy who I think he's probably benefited clearly from some injuries, but I think he's shown he's more than good enough to make a contribution this season.
Kelly fans, you're more than welcome to give us your thoughts, and please do. You know him well, Stuart Kettlewell, Andy. He actually sounded quite annoyed after the game yesterday, where I think he knows what you're trying. You can always say the right things about it. It's not a free hit and you want to come and do something. That's easier said than done. But 2 sort of became 4 quite quickly, and then, you know, maybe quite kind of not damaging as such, but just adds to the negativity that's already around.
I think especially when it's been a lot of the negativity has been towards defensively looking a little bit fragile over the last few games. And I think they held Celtic as best as they possibly can for the majority, although I don't think there was any doubt of who the winners of the game were going to be, out with maybe that Bruce Anderson shot that hits the bar I thought Celtic were extremely comfortable. But listen, we've all been there, we've seen numerous teams go there. It's sometimes the last 10-15 minutes is the most difficult because you've ran for 70-75 minutes without the ball. Celtic will always bring on five substitutions in the attacking areas. Yang seems to be that kind of super sub for Celtic when the game's comfortable. He seems to come on and make an impact at times. And then obviously they concede two disappointing goals for their point of view towards the end of the game. But I think they'll be looking at a run of fixtures coming up. They've obviously got ourselves at Rugby Park coming up next, where they can try and turn that around. So, but it's been a difficult few weeks for Kilmarnock.
Frank is on the line. What are you thinking, Frank?
Hi, Gordon, guys. Yeah, I'm quite puzzled by the almost frenzy-like responses from members of the panel tonight and in the last few nights over the whatever appointment Celtic's going to make for our new manager in terms of, oh, they need to get him in within, you know, a week, 2 weeks, and blah, blah. Surely the question I ask you, each of you, is it not more important, instead of the right time, but we get the right man?
David?
Yeah, but, I mean, I think Celtic have had enough time now to identify candidates, assess candidates, and come up with the one they want. As I said, it wouldn't be a disaster for Martin O'Neill and Sean Maloney to take the helm for a couple more months, or even until the end of the season. I just don't see it as a long-term appointment for Celtic. I don't think it's a long-term option for Celtic. And even speak to Martin O'Neill, I think he senses it's not a long-term option. I think he's doing a job just now. He's happy to step in. But I just think, Frank, if you look at the 2 weeks Celtic have had to really assess things, calm things down, I think they should now be in a position to go and make a move for someone and try and make a long-term plan to take Celtic forward, not just for the rest of this season, but seasons beyond that.
Can I come back?
Of course you can.
It's not the question I asked you. I asked you a simple question, yes or no. Which one is more important? Getting appointing a manager on a certain time scale or getting the right man?
Yeah.
Which one of the two is more important?
My point is, how long do you need to...
No, it's a simple question. Which one of those two is more important?
Obviously getting the right man, but I don't know how long you need to... But
How long do you need to get the right man?
Well, I'll come on to that, because we're talking here about a man who is going to put... we keep hearing the foundation's down for... Excuse me, sorry. The foundation's down for many years for our football club. Not somebody's going to just come in and tinker about for a few years. This is a man that's going to put the foundations. If Celtic Football Club, and I'm sure they have been looking for a number of months, and I believe that, because obviously the previous manager's refusal to sign a new contract, that they're going to have to get a new manager, then they'll have done their due diligence and been checking. If that man or the men who they see, in terms of maybe one or two options, if they see them as the absolute best, and that's what they want for the supporters, the absolute best, but those men aren't available for 2 months or at the end of the season, is it not best we wait for that period of time to get those best men?
Yeah, I mean, you'd be comfortable if that was the end of the season, because look, when people say about not being available, what does that mean? You know, the Bodo Glimt manager, people keep talking about him because he's in the midst of a Champions League campaign. But if it's someone else, if you're saying you think they've looked at this for months, I mean, doing due diligence for months, but this guy's still not available for more months into the future, there becomes a point maybe where you have to look elsewhere.
The point is, when who are we to say to X club, we want your manager, thanks very much? If that club has a contract with a manager and whatever reason that manager doesn't want to, I would like our manager, if the reverse was true.
Yeah, but the contract might be a 3-year contract, though. It might be a 3-year. You're not going to wait 3 years. You offer the compensation and you try and get them if it's the guy you want.
Gordon, I'm simply trying to speak here. I'm trying to say to you, if the man is not available for whatever reason, maybe it's a decency to the club he's with, maybe it's a contractual situation, a multitude that it doesn't matter the reason. If he's not available to Celtic until summer, and he's the best man that the board can provide for Celtic fans as a new manager, ask the question again. It's a simple question. Is it not better to wait until the summer for him?
Yes, but David said yes to that, but there are limits to it. What if it's a three-year contract? Right, you keep saying, and also see this stuff about decency to the other club. Frank, decency to the other club. Celtic are trying to get a manager. What would decency to the other club look like?
Do you think, Gordon, listen, Gordon.
Frank, you're not listening, mate.
Do as I say and not as I do, Frankie.
No, Gordon, listen. Well, I'm sorry for interrupting. I do apologise.
No worries, Frank. Apology accepted.
Right, but I'll put my point. Do you think for a second Celtic's going to wait 3 years? Are we temporary managers?
But you keep saying about contractual situations. There are going to be any club, if a manager's under contract, you need to try and get them. It's the same as a
Frank, what would your cut off be?
I would definitely think we should be able to get the man for this summer.
So just forget about the next three quarters of this season. Just forget about that.
We forget as in we don't play any football?
No.
What are you talking about?
Forget. What I'm saying is...
We compete under a manager called Martin O'Neill and his assistant, Sean Maloney, and they'll hold the fort if the league is ours or isn't ours. C'est la vie, we have to think of the future, and Martin and Sean will do their best for Celtic. And the fans need to get behind this and understand that if you want the best, sometimes you have to be patient.
See, the only thing is, though, not all fans are as impatient as you, Frank. I'm going to say that, though. Do you mind if I steal that quote? See, if Celtic don't win the league this season, I'm going to say, Frank says c'est la vie. He thinks I'm... Anyway, thank you to Frank. Listen,
well,
we were...
c'est la vie.
I know, but I think a lot of other Celtic fans wouldn't see it that way. If they were to suddenly stop winning the league, I think they would see it as a bit more extreme. But anyway, listen, I'm very, very late for this break. So thank you to Frank, and we will take more of your calls when we return.
Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Andy Halliday and David Friel are here. Why not give them a call on 0141 951 1025? It's not that we're not delighted to see you. Obviously, we aren't, and we always are. Where is Roger again? He's got some sort of important
nonsense.
He's
going to become the head honcho, I believe, of the Scottish Football Writers Association. So
what's that called? Chairman, President,
El President,
King.
El President.
Is he? What about that, Andy? Do you think we need to roll out the red carpet from when he's back next week?
Would you think the song to celebrate us?
Oh, it's Tony Orlando all day long.
It's got to be,
not three times when you become President of the Scottish Football Writers Association.
Listen, congratulations, Roger.
What does that involve? Any sort of like weird initiation ceremony or anything?
I'm not 100% sure, to be perfect with you, right. But I think he's earned it.
Okay. He's putting a good innings, that man. We'll see him next week. And in fact, maybe later this week. I can't really keep up. We're about to bring in Donald, who's on the line. Let's very quickly give you your full-time teaser. Thanks to Zach for sending it in. We're looking for 8 players in the Premiership or Championship who have been at their club for more than 10 years. What have you got for us? So Premiership or Championship, they've been at their current club for more than 10 years.
James Tavernier.
Yes. He's just passed it in the summer, didn't he?
Yep.
Callum McGregor.
Yes.
James Forrest.
Yep. 3 easy ones. Any others?
Rory McKenzie.
Yes. Okay, we'll leave it there, because already you're halfway through it. So Zach's question is a good one. You two have made a quick start. And if you want to hear your question used on the show like that in the future, that's kind of the aim of the game on the full-time teaser. So you email it fulltime@clyde1.com, and we'll do our best to use them as the come in. Donald is on the line. Hi, Donald.
Hello there, Gordon.
What are you thinking, Donald?
First of all, I'd like to address... Oh, hello, Gordon. Hello, Andy. And hello, Mr. Friel.
How you doing, Donald?
How are we doing?
First of all, with Andy, I'm 34 years of age.
No chance, Donald. You sound way older.
Yeah, well older.
Not a chance. Who are you trying to kid?
And I went to Cadonald Primary School.
Oh, right. We must have been in the same class then.
Yeah, well, I was actually in the other seven class. You remember, there was two of them.
The better half you were in, yeah.
In the better half, you know. And I remember one day at playtime, you telling me he fancied the girl Shan.
Oh, I hope my wife is not saying this.
Right, my head's gone here, because first of all, I'm listening to the two of you. There is no chance you're the same age as Andy Halliday.
Donald was a Janny at the school.
No chance. But Donald, right, tell me more. So you used to fancy a girl called Sharon.
Sharon Osborne, do you remember her?
Sharon Osborne.
As in the Sharon Osbourne, I fancied her.
You can't have gone to school with a girl called Sharon Osbourne.
Yeah,
that's,
yeah.
No.
She was in my class,
Andy.
She wasn't in your class.
As in, like, the same name as Ozzy's wife.
Aye, that's right, yeah.
I must admit, I'm not trying to avoid it, but I don't remember.
This is good. This is really good.
I don't, mate. You might have more details to potentially refresh my memory.
Hey, hold on, let me go on Facebook here. Sharon. Anyway, do you have a football related point, Donald, or is this just to dig up Andy?
A Rangers fan.
Mm-hmm.
And point is that 2 weeks before, or 2 or 3 weeks before Russell Martin got the bullet, I put money on Rangers to win the league.
Right. Hold on, right. You bet Rangers to win the league before Russell Martin left?
Yes.
What was your thinking then?
Thinking was, he's going to get hunted.
All right, okay.
Get a new manager and we'll get a bounce. Looking at Celtic and I'm thinking, they're no great shakes.
Okay.
I'm looking at Hearts, and as a lot of the provincial teams do, they come back to the Old Firm, which I think Hearts have done great, but they will come back. They'll drop points. I think probably again there was a start yet, and it'll eat away, and I think my bet's looking good.
Please gamble responsibly, I'm duty bound to say. Donald thinks Rangers will win the league and thought it before Russell Martin left because he said he would get binned, which you obviously have. I'm not sure Andy's former teammates would like Hearts being referred to as a provincial club either, but I mean, I take they're smaller than Rangers and Celtic if that's what Donald means. What do you think? Can you see a title challenge?
Well, I mean, I could see a title challenge. I couldn't see them winning it, which would be what pays out Donald's bet. But listen, there's nothing wrong with your optimism. No, you've mentioned Hearts. It's still 12 points, which is a fair amount of points. And then you've got to add into that as well. They're still five behind Celtic. Three Old Firms to go, obviously, two of them at Celtic Park. I think Danny Rose came in and I think he's got that managerial bounce that he spoke about domestically in the three league games. But I feel like they've got a long way to go. And I think for Rangers to get to this title challenge, I think January's again a big window for them. And I know that sounds crazy given the amount of money they spent in the summer, but I still feel that they're really short in certain areas of the pitch.
Come on, you love your tactics, right? Talk to us specifically. Any plans to do the old tactics board for Danny Rule? Or
it would be positive if I did that just now.
What are the specific differences that you are seeing so far?
Well, I think the obvious one is obviously the change of shape. And I think the change of shape has made them, as I said, a lot more solid. But I think the biggest, most glaring difference I've seen is how much more aggressive Rangers are off the ball, especially at the top end of the pitch. I think they're forcing teams into errors. I usually go against Hibs at Easter Road as a perfect example. I think Rangers have done that numerous times in games now. Now, that I think that was a ploy by Russell Martin, shall I say, because it felt as if every week he was asking the team to be more aggressive and run more and press more. Well, Danny Rose came in and done it straight away, and I think you're seeing it. And to be honest with you, Gordon, I watched the Roma game as well. I thought Roma were a class above, but I thought Rangers forced them into errors in certain areas of the pitch that could lead to good chances for Rangers. I just don't think Rangers had the quality on the night to punish them. Now, domestically, I think they've done that, and I think that's been the main difference for me since Danny Rose came in. Again, I don't think it's clicked in an attacking sense in possession, but that could just be down to he's just in the door. There's been game after game after game. They've now got the international break, so probably a little bit more sessions on the pitch. So I think we'll gradually see more bedded into that part of Rangers game.
I think I've been looking at Sharon Osbourne's on Facebook. Is that her?
No, I don't think so. But she sounds a bit the same age as Donald.
Honestly, is there a Sharon Osbourne from Cardonald out there? Do you want to reveal yourself at Donald? You're going to send in your ID, Donald. You sound like you could be Andy's father, at least. Well, seriously, actually, 34?
I'm 34. Just to finish my point, a marriage, Sharon.
Oh, what a twist. What a twist.
Oh man,
Donald, what is happening?
Donald, you should write soap operas. You've absolutely reeled me in. So Sharon,
it's about 5 minutes later.
Sharon's your wife.
That was my wife, yeah.
And they
yeah.
fancied her in primary school.
So you beat me to her.
Yes,
you
did, yes.
So she chose you. She chose you over him, basically.
She chose me over him, yeah.
It's funny. She's I love how he's managed to keep that to the end, because I'm going, there's nobody out there called Sharon Osbourne. She's sitting next to him.
And she's probably not called Osbourne.
Exactly.
Anymore. Yeah, well, listen, she chose the better man, Donald.
That's incredible. She chose you because you sounded older, Donald. She thought you were the mature gentleman in P7.
Yeah.
Have you been together since primary school?
I have, yeah. Well, since about third year in nearly secondary school.
What a tale of romance that is. Oh, you old romantic, Donald. Keyword being old there. Well done, Donald. That was easily. He's going to have to top that call this week.
That's mental. That's mad.
Andy's love rival.
The way he's got that all under control, didn't bother revealing who Sharon was till the end. That's
is David still on the line? No.
Who? Donald.
Donald, sorry.
Yeah, he's still there.
Donald, have you got any school photos? Like, now the class photos you get, have you got any of them you can potentially send into Clyde One?
Yeah, I'll send them in, yeah.
Brilliant. Send that in for us, big man. That'd be brilliant.
A wee arrow above Sharon, and we'll find out Andy's brilliant. Oh, Donald, what a man. That was superb. Well done, Donald.
Andy, well done, mate.
Top man, mate. Take care. That's excellent.
What's the weirdest bit? It's still the fact that he's 34 for me. He sounds like a really...
I like the reveal at the end, Gordon.
I really hope this class photo comes in. Because you know what, I've got a terrible memory, in all fairness, but I just don't remember Sharon at all.
Well, she obviously exists. It's his wife.
I'm denying she exists. But I just don't remember this. And I definitely don't remember him saying to him at playtime at a fancy.
That's so good. I don't know how. Jordan and Cooper, good luck following that. Take it away.
Oh, man, that was class. Oh, Andy, I think you wanted the ground to open up and swallow you. I was watching the YouTube there.
I did, Jordan.
You didn't know where that was going, did you?
You're spot on, the worst of it is, right? See, if that was my wife, she would undeniably have something to say about it.
I'm getting an earful when I got up the road.
Facebook, Andy's wife scrolling through Facebook.
100%.
It would not matter if it was 20 years ago and untrue. There would still be something to be said about it.
I'm copping it tonight. 100%.
Anyway, sorry, Jordan, on you go.
No, good evening, gents. I hope you're all doing well.
Good, thanks.
I wanted to make a couple of points on Rangers and see what Andy had to say. The striker situation, well, I've noticed that in the Roma game, there's Kyle Glasgow and Aidan McCallion from the under-17s. They've been training with the first team, and they've been integrated into the squad for Europe, you know, to get a bit of experience. So it seems to me that Danny Rowe's maybe looking to the youth rather than to find an option for the time being. What do you think about that?
Oh, well, listen, I think in the two instances you've noticed, Kyle Glasgow, I think he's, you know, only 15.
He's 15, yeah.
I think it would be a big ask for him to get integrated into the first team if he's looking at youth ever so imminently. Because I touched on January, you know, we're only 2 months away. I think Kyle Glasgow will still be 15 at that point. So I still think it'll be far too early for him to be integrated into the first team. But fantastic that he's training with him. It's going to be a great experience for him. I think he's going to learn loads for 1, 2, 10, 15 sessions, however many it may be with the first team. But listen, I've been preaching on about it for years, up across Scotland, not just mine, Rangers. But I'd love to see our youth get given more opportunities. And I think the real frustration comes with Finlay cut a start to the season and not being given an opportunity to even play his way at the team, because it was almost come in, do extremely well, score a couple of goals, get a couple of man of the matches. But you know what? Find yourself out the team anyway and bide yourself back. And sometimes, you know, listen, sometimes managers do that where they take them out the limelight and, you know, they'll sit on the bench again for a game or two, come off the bench. But it seems as if Finlay Cutlass has been almost out the picture for a couple of months now. I know Danny Rowe brought him off the bench against Roma, but listen, I'd love to see more boys get given an opportunity, especially when, you know, certain players in front of them are not exactly doing enough to hold their own jersey.
Are you allowing yourself to get a little bit carried away or a little bit excited about a turning your fortunes, Jordan, or still more work to be done?
There's definitely work to be done. I mean, the defence needs some work on it. I mean, I would send Giga back to Wolves, bring in an experienced defender, probably try and reintegrate Insiala and Fernandez. I mean, Insiala can't be a bad player if he's come through the AC Milan Academy. But I think there's been a Russell Martin bomb squad where he's just literally not liked players, bombed them right out the window, and he's tried. Now we're trying to integrate these players back in and find some options, because Finlay Curtis is a great example you've made there, Andy. The boy was flying and then all of a sudden he got dropped. But why doesn't maybe they look at Sheffield Wednesday in January, maybe try and get Barry Bannon, maybe Pierce Charles, a goalie. They're in, I think, a very bad financial situation, so they're going to need the money. If not, look at Simon Murray or maybe a Cammy Devlin. He's a great
List. What a list, honestly. Barry Barron playing for Rangers?
I don't think Barry Barron.
Barry, if you want to give us a call and your thoughts about joining Rangers, you can...
Kyle Glasgow next to Barry Barron in midfield. That's some disparity in his
that. I'm not sure.
Well, just make an example. It was just an example of players that were at Sheffield Wednesday.
Talking about players getting a chance, how do you think that works? So, Fernandez is another big recruitment mystery as it stands. I mean, in Seala, Jordan's probably right. He probably was in Russell Martin's bomb squad. How do you find time to work your way back in at the moment when it's just like sort of train, game, recover, one training session, game, is in Seala quite simply too far out the picture? Even if he was good, you know, well, how do you get back in?
Well, to find your way back in, it's either perform extremely well in training or a bit of luck. That John Souter, you know, touchwood for himself, gets an injury, and Derek Cornelius gets an injury, and that is, by all accounts, probably the best way for Inciala or Fernandez to get back into the picture. Now, I could agree with you, Jordan, that, you know, we see it before that, you know, a particular manager just might not fancy a player. You look at Callum Osmond's a perfect example at Celtic at the minute. Brendan Rodgers clearly didn't fancy him. Martin O'Neill gave him a chance. He's came in and done extremely well for a couple of games before his injury. But, you know, Danny Rowe's been in for a few games now, and, you know, still no Fernandez, still no Inciala. So maybe they're of the opinion, as Russell Martin was, that they're just not ready and they're not just not good enough. Now, the fact of the matter is, it's probably harder to stomach with Fernandez because, again, it was a £3.5 million outlay. Now, what I would say, if it gets to January and that picture hasn't changed, I think both Fernandez in particular has to go and play games because he still have a decent age. I think he's a 22 or 23 year old potentially, and I don't think it's any use for his development and his growth to sit on the bench all season.
Okay, thank you very much to Jordan. Check that teaser quickly. I'll just take one more guess. Can you name 8 players in the Premiership or the Championship who've been at their current club for over 10 years? Callum McGregor, James Tavernier, James Forrest, Rory McKenzie,
Scott Pittman.
Yes, Mr. Livy, 2015.
That's Mr. Livy. I've got Mr. Arbroath. David Gold.
Well done. 2 to get. We'll get them next, hopefully. The Pundit Predictor with McNair's Building Supplies. Try McNair's for your next building, roofing or gardening project. But this is becoming a real worry, this Pundit Predictor. Seriously. I mean, we need to do something about this. We're trying to give away serious cash. This started out at £100. All you had to do was predict 3 games. We're now about to roll over to £1,300 on Friday. Because Friday there, Kevin came on. I think he thought Falkirk would win, and they didn't. I think he thought, was it Motherwell? Or was another one that let him down as well. And Kevin's loss could be your gain. So we're now up to £1,300 just for 3 games. It's like trying to get a prediction out of Hugh Keevans, honestly, or a correct one. All you need to do, 3 matches. Tell me home win, draw, or away win. If you get the 3, it's £1,300 on the Pundit Predictor this Friday, thanks to McNair's Building Supplies. Honestly,
£1,300 just in time for Christmas as well.
And it would be the last. Oh no, it would be. I'm sure there were 2 teams, and actually hope there were. Otherwise, it was Livy's last minute equaliser that would have done him. Oh no. Do you know what? We'll need to get Marvin back on at some point. I wouldn't dream of arguing with David Martindale, who's now a star of political commentary as well. But I heard his interview saying he didn't think it was a penalty, and then I saw it back. Yeah. Come on.
I was at the Falkirk Stadium working, Gordon, and when David Martindale starts talking about it, you think this must be an absolute howler. Like, what's going on? But it was a penalty kick. Stevie May. I think there was enough space for him to get his arm out of the way, put it that way.
I can't believe it's taken 4 minutes. I thought it would be quicker.
I was trying to concentrate there.
Mrs. Halliday has messaged Sharon in capital letters, then Sharon again, but preceded by a sweary word that can't be read out. You're in deep trouble tonight, honestly.
I can't believe I've got to be explaining myself over a phantom girl.
And did you? Oh, she's not phantom, she's real. She was just sitting.
Sorry, I forgot.
She was phantom.
Honestly, man.
So I'm quite excited about this. Obviously, she's still going. You're still getting more messages.
Don't come home, just go to Sharon's tonight.
That's going to be dropped in everywhere as soon as
I told you. See,
dinner will get put down. It might not be as good as Sharon's. When you say something, I bet you wouldn't say that.
I wasn't expecting that tonight.
You wouldn't speak to Sharon like that, would you? Famously went to primary school with Scott Allen as well, didn't you?
Yes.
I'm going to message him. I need to investigate.
He's got a better memory than me, so he might be able to confirm or deny.
You can remember as well. Don't pull that one with us, Jilly. If you're listening, I'll get to the bottom of this on your behalf. Anyway, how's your teaser coming along? Eight players in the Premiership and Championship that have been at their club more than 10 years: Callum McGregor, James Tavernier, Rory McKenzie, James Forrest, Scott Pittman, and one of the hardest ones, David Gold. I'll take one more guess.
Marcus Fraser?
No.
Ross Laidlaw?
You can't be far off. No. I'm now worried that we've just missed them. They're not on my list though. Okay, you can get back to you.
Academy doesn't count, I take it.
No, I think these guys will have been in the first team anyway.
It has to be
continuous.
Yeah,
I think so. I hope so. Yeah, otherwise it wouldn't really. Okay, we'll get back to it. Anything else from the weekend you want to tidy up? It was quite a dramatic night in Paisley. I think a very classic Scottish football drama this, where people found themselves saying regrettable things about offside lines and frames and all that stuff. As far as I can gather, and I know VAR is a real pain in people's backside, I think both St Mirren's goals were offside. Is that fair?
Yeah,
when we get to
so.
The bottom of it all,
I actually felt the Marcus Fraser one did look offside. Well,
100%, yeah. But looked, but then
one.
Again, it's not about how it looks, because otherwise that's the point.
And I get the whole thing about the lines being drawn and everybody in the way and all that sort of stuff, but I thought in Lundeloos, I think again looked pretty tight, but it probably was.
Because I think, you know, there was an accusation about a different frame being used, but that's the same frame. The lines are in a different place, I think, and it's zoomed in a bit more. A different frame has not been used. So when people say that, they're factually incorrect.
And it's so tight that you can understand. Look, you can understand frustrations, but you have to trust the frames and the lines.
And Lundeloos is not. There's no debate, really. It's really just the first one, I think, because of the way it came about. I think what's for anybody who cares, I think we're due to record the next VAR review this week. It's a 3-hour special. So by the end of the week, you'll see. I genuinely don't know if that features. It may well, given the sort of fallout from it. I genuinely don't know the answer. I think what is worth bearing in mind, and again, I don't know the outcome of this, is what you've got is obviously VAR do their thing, and then they have their image, and then an image is sent to broadcasters that they then use, whether it's Sky or whether it's Premier. So there are sort of various things that, like, maybe the wrong image was sent, or maybe, you know what I mean? Those types of things can happen, rather than it being they've got this decision wrong and then sort of trying to reverse engineer it. Listen, I love a good conspiracy theory as much as the next guy, but what you tend to find with these is the answer's a lot more boring than the sort of allegation sometimes is.
Yeah, and as I said, listen, you're always going to get frustrated, but I think if we go down that route, Gordon, as you say, conspiracy theories in Scottish football, you don't need to look too far for them. But I think if we go down the route of questioning stuff like that, then we'll be there all night.
Yeah, when all said and done, it's a really good win that for Hibs, isn't it? To win anyway, but to do it by that margin.
Yeah, massively. And do you not feel as if Hibs have just been that team that's kind of went under the radar this season? There's been a lot of questions after European exploits at the start of the season. You know, domestic performances haven't been great. Dropped some poor results, poor points. Sorry, but again, you're still looking at the table and sitting third. Just went to Pittodrie, won at Pittodrie really convincingly. Now went to Paisley, one of the most difficult places to go in the league. Won again, extremely convincingly. So, you know, David Gray is quietly going about his business, and so is his team.
I think I said that on Saturday as an example of why maybe we shouldn't get too hung up on the table, because it felt like Hibs fans were, I don't know if needing a win is the right word, but really looking for one and expecting an upturn, and yet they were third. They were third before a ball was kicked on Saturday. Falkirk knocked them off for a couple hours and Hibs went back. Speaking of which though, Falkirk, it's still a brilliant league position to be in, and they're punching above their weight, and they're probably showing up some of the pundits who predicted that they might go down. And yet they nearly won it. They very nearly won it, as you witnessed at the weekend.
Yeah, and you, at that stage, you know, they were going, you know, so close to Celtic in the table. They were going to be third on 18 points, I think, or 16 just now. And you were just looking at the rise of Falkirk. 18 months ago, they were still a League One team. But yeah, they just switched off. But what I would say on the flip side of that is Livingston just never give up. I mean, they did it against Hibs last weekend, and they did it against Falkirk on Saturday. Graham Carey, again, brilliant delivery, and Danny Wilson rolling back the years with that header.
I think that's almost us. Anything else you want to tidy up from the weekend? Don't have time. Listen to that. There's the music on. I was going to say Andy needs to go up the road for his dinner. That is not happening. He's going to have to relocate. You got a sleeping bag in the car, have you?
I haven't. No, I'm actually just watching the English Premier League for the first. How's that? No, we criticise our VAR and our use of VAR and referees, the Brentford penalty with Dan
Ball. Oh, there's been a few this weekend. Anyway, right, a couple more in the teaser. Players that have been at their Premiership or Championship club for more than 10 years. McGregor, Tavernier, Forrest, Scott Pittman, Rory McKenzie, David Gold, or both. Two more.
Is Lewis Vaughan?
Yes.
Stephen Lawless?
Same club.
Oh.
Oh, do you know what though? Stephen Lawless not got. No, but it's, that was split.
Split, right.
Same club as Lewis Vaughan. Gordon DL hates these guys in case they get more Wraith prominence than him. This is according to Zach. Remember, you blame him if it's wrong. This is Zach's list. Full time at Clyde1.com to send your questions in.
Your
just put you out of your misery, I think, because it's very close to the end. Ross Matthews.
Oh, when I got it.
He did well, though. That was a pretty good effort. Thank you, Andy Halliday, who's a way to think about his life choices. And to David Friel of the Scottish Sun as well. Back tomorrow at 6. Enjoy the rest of your evening.